The subject that I have chosen really is something that the question was asked in Europe. And so we had a lesson on it, the will of God. But the point is that how is that possible in Bible time? How is that possible during the time of the tabernacle? And the will of God was done through the Urim and the Thummim. You've heard that, did you? The Urim and the Thummim. I'd like to read you a few scriptures on that. But we had quite a discussion on it in Europe. And so I'd like to read to you a scripture that's found in Exodus, the 28th chapter, and verse 29 and 30. There are two sisters that I forgot to bring the love and greetings, and if I get back home, they'll shoot me probably. And that is Sister Lynn Schultz from Vancouver, Canada. And the other sister is Estelle Litzenberger. She used to live on the island, and she's moved up inland now. She lives inland with her family. It's a love from her entire family there that they all get together. And they are glad to participate in the truth message. Let me read you the scripture. Exodus 28, verses 29 and 30. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And then in another place we find in Leviticus 8 and verse 8, and here's what it says. And he put the breastplate upon him also, and he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim and the Thummim before the Lord. And we find this in Numbers, the 27th chapter, in verse 21. So that's where it had this beginning, and I'm sure that you probably have studied this in your tabernacle many, many years ago, the Urim and the Thummim. But I want you to know what God would have us to do. But the point is, how do you determine God's will for us is another matter. I'm sure that when you look back in your lives, I'm sure you can have some wonderful testimonies on that. How the truth has changed your lives. Just think back. And what was the will of God? What was the will of God? And so the Bible tells us of different methods which God has used in revealing his will. How has the God revealed his will that you're here today? Think about it. Yes, in some instances he used dreams. That's true. In some instances he used prophets. But we find for many years, if we go back in Bible time, he used the Urim and the Thummim. And the purpose of it was to instruct his people Israel concerning what God's will would have them to do. And so, this morning we will discuss the Urim and the Thummim. And we do find that the Urim and the Thummim is little known to many people. If you were to ask if your closest friends, even your JWs, or anybody of your church friends, they would not know what you're talking about. And so possibly the first step in this lesson, we're going to ask the question, what is the Urim and the Thummim. Well, we would say that the Urim and Thummim was a means of consulting the Lord. It was a sacred method used by the high priest to determine the divine will. And at times it was used to determine if it's the guilt or innocence. Is it yes or no of the suspected persons? The Urim and Thummim, as by Hebrew, is written a little different. And this was brought to my attention. The Urim is spelled, the right way of spelling it apparently is U-R-E-E-M. And the Thummim is T-H-U-M-M-E-E-M. So basically, what does it mean? What does these two words mean? When you go back in studying it, it means lights and perfection. Urim means light, or to give light. The Thummim means perfection or innocence. And so we see that through the power of God, the high priest, during tabernacle time, he alone would God use this way of determining through the Urim and the Thummim would bring to light the guilt of the accused person or would establish his innocence. And so the Urim and the Thummim gave through the power of God the answer, yes or no. And this question was upon the high priest. And we find this in, if you want to look this up, in 1 Samuel, chapter 14 and verse 42. You'll also find it in 1 Samuel 23, verses 6 to 12. And so we will not read these scriptures. It'll take time. But I'm sure you have a question in the back of your mind. And it's probably a difficult question. How was the will of God manifested through the Urim and the Thummim? I've heard several opinions. I've heard it in Europe. Several opinions have been expressed. One is that possibly the high priest heard the miraculous voice. Another made a statement that God's will was put into the mind of the high priest. Possibly. But probably to these opinions is neither could it be a voice that could be put by Moses in the pocket of the breastplate. And so that was sort of the question. It's interesting. Another opinion that was given was the fact that is that God's will was shown by the jewels in the breastplate, that the jewels would show light or darkness in this miraculous manner. It either was negative or positive. It would convey God's answer, yes or no. But, all right, there was some objection to this opinion, is that the scripture seems to say that the Urim and Thummim is something quite separate from the breastplate. And so we have two scriptures on that, which we just read in Exodus 28:30. It was one of them, which he says, he shall put in the breastplate of the judgment the Urim and the Thummim. And then as we read Leviticus 8:8, again it put the breastplate upon him. Also, he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. And so this eliminates this other thought that some of the opinions that the brethren had brought. But yet, we find that the high priest in his robes of glory and beauty had entrusted to him the Urim and the Thummim, and the function of which was to convey the will of God through the high priest and through him to the king or to the people in that area at that time. Now, we do not need the Urim and the Thummim today, do we? No. No. But the question is, what do we need? What do we need to tell us what God's will is? And we do want to seek and to know God's will, and this fact gives us the first glimpse of what is the antitype of the function and purpose that the Urim and the Thummim really is. I've never thought of that, but this was brought to our attention before. Just like we said, we do not need the Urim and the Thummim today. But we do need, and has been expressed here this past day and a half, the Word of God to guide the power of this miraculous power of God. And that is what? The Holy Spirit. And this is brought to our attention. The Holy Spirit to enlighten us to His will. And this is one of the lessons that the Urim and Thummim surely teaches. The reason I say it was a type is that it has very definite antitype to it. Why? It's because it is part of the tabernacle picture. The sanctuary of God. The furniture was the robes, the sacrifices, all types. And so also I believe the Urim and the Thummim in the pocket of the breastplate of the glory robes. The Urim and the Thummim is a type. But it is, and it must be, of course, it has the antitype meaning. As we said earlier, we do not need the Urim and Thummim today. But we do need, and we do need to seek God's will, to know what God's will is. And this fact gives us the first glimpse of what in the antitype, the function and purpose of the Urim and Thummim really is. Today, we do need the Word of God. Why? To guide us. We need the power, the miraculous power of God, His Holy Spirit, to enlighten us what His will is. And that's what made it possible through God's Holy Spirit of you being here today. The Lord made it possible. You probably didn't realize that. Neither did I probably at times. And this is one lesson, I believe, that the Urim and the Thummim surely teaches. Yes, of course, the Lord makes a lot of things possible. And we enjoyed the lessons that have been brought over this platform the last couple of days. Now, one cannot think of the jewels of the breastplate of judgment without thinking of Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. What does it say? They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spared his own son that serveth him. Those are beautiful scriptures for you and me. Another scripture I believe is important to us, and that is Isaiah 61:10. Isaiah 61:10 reads this way. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful, for he had clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of his righteousness as a bridegroom decked himself. In the margin it says as a priest. and as a bride adores herself with her jewels. And then Exodus 19:5 tells us the same. And we look, therefore, if you hearken to my voice, the scripture says, and you keep my commandments, you shall be my special jewels. Then all the people through all the earth shall be mine. As we traveled in different locations, and for some reason, and I've heard it here too, and that's the scripture quoted by, written by Apostle Paul in Romans. The whole world groans and travails in pain, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. This scripture was discussed at a convention in Mukachevo in the southern part of Ukraine. And it was brought over at this Sunday meeting in Lviv convention, or one-day convention. And it was surprising that that scripture came about even in a New York class. We've come across it a number of times that brethren would talk about it. Even it was mentioned here. Is that the will of God? Yes, it is. As Brother Mike Hensley brought out the fact about our dedication to serve the Lord, it was brought out in the discussion you had yesterday on the theme text that you have here. We've come across that scripture even in Sacramento. Brethren brought it up. Brethren from Poland brought it up. They spoke at the convention in Europe. It's interesting. And I opened the first page of the tabernacle, the very first page, and lo and behold, that scripture is there. The whole world groans and travails in pain. Lenny Rice told us some things, the condition of the world today. We don't want to talk about it, do we? You'll find on the internet some statistics of the condition of the world today. How many children are lost every minute? Lenny told us how many was lost in 1 year. Did you ever realize this is the last number was given during the statistics? I never realized that the number has grown that high. How many people die in highway accidents in the United States in 1 year? Think about the loss of lives. Just think of the groaning of the mothers who've lost their loved ones. The last flu that they had in 1918, there was more people died in the flu than the two world wars put together. 22 million. So you can see how the world groans and travails in pain. My parents told me that in 1918 how there were so many bodies that they had to wait for a week or two before they could be buried because there was nobody to bury them. How true the scriptures are fulfilled. We often think when we do study the tabernacle, and we think of the beauty of the breastplate. And what's beautiful about it was the fabric that was used. You had the gold, you had the purple, you had the scarlet blue, and the fine linen, and so on. The golden clasps that held it. And it's the beautiful artwork. Plus those 12 precious jewels were so beautifully cut and placed in there. And so in this lesson, we find that hidden away in this innermost fold lay this mysterious object known as the Urim and the Thummim. And this is by which the high priest, he learned the will of God for his people. And how this teaches, brethren, our hidden ability through his word, through his Holy Spirit, to learn the hidden treasure of his will for us. And when I say us, well, we talk about the church, his spiritual Israel. And as Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 1:17, that the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And then we find in Colossians 1:9-10, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And this tells us further in Philippians 1:9, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge in all his judgment. And so to us, the Lord has revealed what his will is. When you made your consecration, when you talked about Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And you did that. Why? It was the will of God. It was through your powers, through your prayers, that you prayed for wisdom and knowledge and understanding what God's will is. And God made it possible. And so as we look at the Urim and the Thummim, they are in a plural form, the number of likely to be several or surely equally divided, but between those represented, Urim and Thummim represents the Thummim, the true Urim and Thummim. Might have been 12 objects of pebbles, yes. But so we have full reason to trust that we receive this light, this illumination through our Urim and Thummim. And that after our prayer, meditation, and study, as did the high priest, our course will be made clear in full assurance of faith. And brethren, we will cast our burdens on the one who is miraculously is used in the Urim and the Thummim, will guide you and me in the judgment of his will for all of our brethren. Not only for us, it eventually will be for the whole world. The breastplate of judgment, being double with the sides and the bottom sewn up, the pucket thus formed its opening at the top. And some think that probably it's true that the weight of the scripture leads to the conviction that the Urim and Thummim were small objects. They were identical size, and they were kept in the pocket of the breastplate. And so by drawing out one of these objects after prayer and meditation on the part of the high priest, it gave the answer. But the Urim and the Thummim, yes or no, was the answer. I think this was the secret place for the purpose for hundreds of years back, during the time of the tabernacle. There were those who tried to make forgeries to make it look identical. We even see the nominal system in the world today tries to copy it. But the answer is no. It's forgeries. But with regards to the Urim and the Thummim, no instruction as to how to make them, because that wasn't for anyone to make. We may guess Yeah, they could have been identical stones of a different color. But really, we do not really know. We do not really know. But even so, others tried to copy it. And we find that in the Old Testament by some of the other people. On the one hand, we find, brethren, that the Urim and Thummim was not connected with idolatry, as were the forgeries. But rather, the Urim and Thummim was the function or device that was instructed by God, given by him to Moses, to the high priest, to express the divine will. The Urim and Thummim was even used to the time when they were dividing the land up, the drawing of lots. Have you ever considered how familiar lots were in history in Israel? How they cast lots, they considered a lot of the Urim and Thummim with respect to the inheritance of each of the tribe in Canaan. Each tribe's inheritance of the land was decided by lot. And so the people had confidence in the Urim and the Thummim. It was greater than the human choices. It was God's will, is how it was done. Let's listen to a few verses that emphasizes this that we're talking about. Numbers 26 and verses 55 and 56. It says this: the land shall be divided by lot according to the names of the tribes. According to the lot shall the possession thereof be divided. And then in Numbers 27 verse 19, and take Joshua and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation. And then in Numbers 34 now, in verse 17, he says, these are the names of the men which shall divide the land into you, unto you. Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of man, of Nun. I think from these scriptures we find, I am sure, that these texts were to get the setting of how Joshua, in the 18th chapter in verse 11, and the lot of the tribe of Benjamin came up. And so it came from the breastplate. And Joshua 19:1 says, and a second lot came forth to Simeon. And you note here it covers the undoubtedly the Urim and the Thummim. And Joshua 19:10 says, and a third lot came up for the children of Zebulun. And so forth. And so this is one of the strongest feelings that I have, that God used lots as he worked through the Urim and the Thummim. Yes or no? And so at that time, the division of the land was important. For instance, if the tribe of Judah had been placed on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, where Gentile commerce brought idolatry, but instead of placing the protected sheep and grazing hill country, how different King David's boyhood would have been. His training, and actually how difficult the history of Israel was different. And so also think of yourselves, brethren, of your providences as a child, as an adult, as a teenager growing up. I'm sure you had many ideas. You had many things that you thought you were going to do in your life. How you're probably going to own a big business at one time. Who knows what? But we all have dreams, don't we? And as and what you would do when you finish your high school, what would you do when you finish your college? And we can see how the Lord directed your lives of where you are today in doing the will of God. How God intervened on your behalf. How God intervened on your behalf. And so, brethren, all these things are our experiences. God's hand has been in our place of inheritance. When I think about you, brethren, and we think of ourselves, look at Psalms 16:6. The lines are, talk about in pleasant places, yet we have a goodly inheritance, a heritage. Just think how God has directed our lives. And we say to ourselves, what a happy lot that is for ours. And we are thankful every day for his lot. Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, as some translators have it, in the bosom. But the lot is cast into the bosom, the breastplate. But the whole disposition thereof is of the Lord. We often think we're happy for God's will on our behalf. Nothing comes by chance, brethren. It is not some blind fortune to us, but it's by the will of God. He directs our lot, our daily steps. And we must reconcile unto them. I want to share another point of interest in our lesson and our day that we live in. First of all, we think about Israel after the return from Babylon when they were in captivity. We talked about Israel yesterday. Irvin Kolinsky brought some points and others. We think about Israel. And we know what the last time of trouble will be with Jacob's trouble. Will be the last event of the great time of trouble. Ezra 2:61-63. I'll just read a few. It tells us an interesting story. But here's what it says. They have searched for their name, but they could not be found. They were disqualified for the priesthood as unclean, and the governor forbade them to partake of the most holy food until there should be a priest able to consult with the Urim and the Thummim. And so we find that the Urim and Thummim, that sacred lot, came to a close. It ceased at that time of captivity. The use of the Urim and the Thummim is also implied in the early history of Israel, where it was mentioned, was made of asking counsel of the Lord and counseling the Lord often by means of the ephah that they had and the Urim and the Thummim. You'll find this recorded in Judges 1 and 2, and also Judges 20 and 18. But the time came, brethren, when its work was done, then Israel was given the prophets, who alone told Israel, its kings, God's will for them. So we find that these prophets were men of God. Acts 3:19-24 places Samuel high on the list as being one of them. When the era of the prophets opened, God manifests his will through them. The Urim and the Thummim was no longer used. But like the rest of the tabernacle, it was a shadow of good things to come. And what it means to you and to me, brethren, is very important. As the high priest bore the Urim and the Thummim on his heart, so the Lord bears us on his heart continually. He communicates his will to us, brethren, By His Word, by His Spirit, He gives us the sanctifying truth for every emergency and for every time of need. You know, we hear so many testimonies how the Lord had intervened on behalf of many brethren throughout the world. We have some beautiful testimonies on that. And so we find that how important it was at that time for the high priest to bear the Urim and the Thummim in his heart. And so the Lord bears us also. Remember that. The blessing of the Holy Spirit is like a glass. It permits the light of truth to enter into our minds so that we can reflect it in our lives. And we've been seeing this at this convention. And so as we step down through the corridor of time and God's dealing with His people, yes, sometimes by dreams as He did with Jacob and others, and by the Urim and the Thummim and the Tabernacle days, and by prophets now. So God's ancient wordies from Samuel and all that followed after, right down to John the Baptist, the last of the prophets, who is a voice in the wilderness told of the coming of the Lord. But it didn't stop there with those strong men. They were given the privilege of telling the will of God for His people. In majestic words we read in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times, in a divers manners, spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and had in these last days do so, spoken to us, how? By His Son. By His Son. We had appointed heir of all things. And so, the Urim and the Thummim of old had come to a close. And our Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of Truth, He reveals to us what is the will of God for you and for me. And my prayer on your behalf is that somehow, in some way, that we all can be at that marriage supper and fulfill that scripture. The whole world groans and travails in pain, waiting for who? For you, the sons of God, to bring blessings to the world of mankind. And the promise of Abraham will someday be fulfilled. Indeed, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that is through the will of God. God has a wonderful plan. And as Bob Goodman once said, and you're in it. And how true it is. The whole world is in it. They don't know it. And they're groaning, travailing in pain. And so, brethren, as we're going to go home from this convention, continue to fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up. Continue to do God's will. God bless each and every one of you.